Please let us pray. God of the flowing water, God of the settling spirit, please be with me and with all of us as we listen for your love song in these old and new words. Amen. He always felt he was different somehow. It wasn't really something he could explain to anyone else. It was more of a feeling that would come over him near flowing water, or when he would climb the hills behind the Canadian Tire at night. It was a feeling. His mother seemed to understand, the way she looked at him when he was a boy with that little smile of hers, like she knew a secret. He wasn't really into sports like the other kids. He played hockey, but only because his dad said it would build character. But he was a bit too sensitive and was prone to daydreaming when he sat on the bench, which was a lot. When he was young, he thought he might become a writer. That's what the teachers encouraged anyway. He seemed to have a gift for storytelling and poetry and for deep metaphors that took people on journeys into their simpler selves. He had a way of giving voice to longing, his own longing to find peace and place, but also the longing for the world. But it is almost impossible to make a living as a writer these days in this gig economy. So when it was time to choose a path, he went to business school. Marketing major, just like his father. It was time to grow up, time to stop daydreaming, he thought. He had a few friends, but he was closest to his cousin, Johnny. Johnny was the wild one of the family, 100% mischief, dreadlocks and tattoos and radically vegan, always organizing a protest for this cause or that movement. The system is sick, the system is sick. He would rant and rail, and the people would rally to him. Johnny was loud and brash and stubborn, a bit of a blunt instrument with an uncompromising hands-on-the-hips approach to life. He visited Johnny at a new intentional community up in the headwaters that he started with some others, organic gardening and off-the-grid alternative economy kind of stuff. The system is sick, and it is making people sick, Johnny said. And so we've started something new here. And I think you need to be part of it, part of the healing that we all need. We've started something important, but I can only take it so far, he said. I'm a blunt instrument. I know this about myself, but you, cousin, you are like flowing water. You get into the spaces between things. You are different somehow. We need you. Stay. And it felt right. He wanted to stay. He longed to stay. But it was a big decision about his future, like stepping over a threshold. And he wasn't sure if he could trust his heart. So he talked to his parents about it. His mom, with that little smile of hers, seemed to understand, but his dad got angry, like really angry. No way, no way. You go down this path and you're going to end up living in a van down by the river. No way, no son of mine. Come on, it's time to grow up. Let me make a call. I'll get you in at my buddy's development company. Look around, my boys. Condo buildings. That's where the money is these days. And so that's what happened. The boy became a man, and by all metrics that he learned of in business school, he did very well for himself. 75-inch flat screen on the wall, a Tesla in the driveway. He even played beer league hockey on the weekends. In time, he forgot all about the sound of running water, and he hadn't been in the hills for many years. The only stories he told were to add some color to his PowerPoint presentations. Helps to close the sale, you know. He got the letter on his 30th birthday. A real handwritten letter, in cursive even. Who writes in cursive anymore? But apparently it's one of the skills guys pick up in prison when there's nothing else to do but write letters. Johnny had been arrested. Some trumped-up charge, he said, about getting on the wrong side of the mayor about a highway they wanted to build through the headwaters. But that's not why he was writing. The letter was a lot like Johnny, a blunt instrument. He managed to call him a materialist, a hypocrite, and a corporate viper, all in the same sentence, which was impressive. But it was in the PS where Johnny really brought the thunder. I thought you were different. I guess I was wrong. The man looked out. The man put down the letter and looked out the window. Just looked out for a really long time. And then a longing, a deep longing, a forgotten longing, a poet's longing, a longing for healing for himself and the world crept into his heart. Outside, a neighbor was washing his car. And then he heard it. It was faint, but he heard it like a love song on the wind. He heard it, the sound of flowing water. Luke tells us that Jesus was about 30 years old when he showed up on the shores of the Jordan River to be baptized. The average lifespan of a person in the ancient Middle East was about 35 years. Now, this number is skewed by a high infant mortality rate, but still, by the measure of the times, Jesus was deep into his adulthood when he started his ministry. When most people his age would be seeking stability in family and trade, he started down a path that would lead him in exactly the opposite direction. Transience, upheaval, conflict with power and authority. We don't know what led him to the water that day. History and the Gospels are silent on his motivations. We don't know if he felt a call early in his life but ignored it until it couldn't be ignored anymore. We don't know if there was family pressure or societal expectations that he felt he needed to adhere to. Perhaps he was just waiting for the right moment when the seeds that he would plant would find fertile ground. What we do know is that the baptism of Jesus was a threshold moment for him and for the world. When he stepped into that flowing water, nothing would ever be the same again. The ripples of that moment, that choice that he made on that day, are felt even now by us. The baptism of Jesus is one of the few events that are recorded in all four Gospels. And if you line up all four, you will see some significant differences between them. In this liturgical year, we are journeying with Luke, and there are unique aspects to his interpretation of the baptism of Jesus. If you are familiar with the story from other tellings, the first difference I think is pretty obvious. Something, or rather someone, is noticeably absent from Luke's account. Who is it? Yell it into your screen if you know it. Yeah, it's John the Baptist. John's in jail. He's not even there at the Jordan when Jesus is baptized. And so this is far from the private event that other gospel writers make it out to be. Instead, Luke tells us that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus also was baptized. Jesus also was baptized. Jesus was one of the crowd that day. The one we call the incarnation, the Word, the Logos, the Son of God, stood in a queue with everyone else that day. What if God was one of us, just a stranger on the bus? Jesus comes with the same longing, the same calling to partake in the same ritual of cleansing and repentance and renewal. Before he was in the water, he was with the people. walking where they walked, feeling what they felt, aching where they ached. Jesus also was baptized with the sinners and the seekers, with the bankers and the buskers, with the young and the old, the rich and the poor. Jesus also was baptized through the power of the Holy Spirit. The water that covered his head that day so long ago is the same water that touched your head when you were baptized. Reflect on that the next time you feel distant from Christ. Jesus also was baptized with us, for us, as one of us. Jesus also was baptized. This is something we see in this story. Another thing we see is the centrality of prayer. In Luke's telling, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended only after Jesus prayed. It was prayer that triggered it, this thinning of the space between heaven and earth. It was prayer. Prayer was central to Jesus' spirituality and the connection to the one he called his Father. He would walk up mountains to pray, journey into the wilderness to pray, slip into the deep night to pray, teach others to pray, ask his friends to stay awake with him, to stay awake with him when he was scared so he could pray. As with Jesus in prayer, we turn ourselves over to God. We place our hopes and fears and deep longings before the one in whose image we are lovingly crafted. Prayer is an act of humility, recognizing that our own skills and talents can only take us so far. We need help. We can't do this all on our own. Prayer reflects our own relationship to God. So there is no one right way to pray. Prayer may take the form of words or silence or music or movement. But at its essence, and this is what Jesus shows, prayer is about relationship to God. It is the act of being present to God so we can become aware of God being present to us. Being present to God, being present to us. And this is key to what happens next. In Matthew's version of the story, after the heavens are opened and the Spirit descends, the voice of God says, "This is my Son, who I love, in whom I am well pleased." But with Luke, the voice declares, "You are my Son. You are my child. I love you. In you I am well pleased." God is not talking to the crowds here. God is talking to Jesus. This is Jesus being present to God, being present to him. "You are my Son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased." This is not performative. It is personal. It is intimate, like a love song on the wind. As one of our wise ones in Bible study said this week, this is a beautiful illustration of a parent, in this case, a divine parent who knows exactly what to say to their child at an important moment in their life. When we are scared, when we are lonely, when we are facing uncertainty, when we are at a threshold moment in our lives, isn't this what we all want to hear? "You are my child. I love you. I'm so proud of you." When Jesus heard these words, standing there in the flowing water, nothing could ever be the same again. Baptism is seen as the way we enter into the worldwide Christian community. It is also an initiation into a life with Christ at its center. It is a way of life with Jesus inside of it. His words, his ways, his work of justice and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and love. It is a way of life we are continually called to and called back to when we wander or are lost or forget the sound of flowing water in our lives. And just as Jesus was baptized alongside others, we live into our baptism alongside each other, in praying for each other, in comforting each other, in encouraging each other, in reminding each other that we are all God's beloved children. We are all worthy of God's love. We are all called to build a new world, to step over the threshold of our longings and to wade into the flowing water and to be present to God being present to us. When we do this, nothing will ever be the same again. Amen.